Dear flashcards, I confess, my emotions have been a mess. Cause you changed everything we ever knew. From witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong.
I was wrong.
Been out all night.
Way too long.
Getting hogs and Valkyries.
I pushed that button and believe in you again.
Welcome to episode 75. I am Kat, and there is no Fado with me. I am Fado-less. Pineapple and Thorns news. Fado is going to be taking a little break due to being busy with real life, but fear not, faithful listener, I shall keep recording. I don't have fancy sound effects like the wonderful C-note on his Clash Tours podcast, but I believe there's someone at the door. Knock, knock. Why, look who it is. I'm thrilled, and I know the listeners will be as well, to welcome back Peter to the show. Peter, welcome.
Hello, Kat. How have you been?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I think it's been a little while since I've been here.
It was
March. And I think you said episode 75. It was last on episode 53. So you've been busy.
Yeah, it's been a few.
Yeah.
You want to take us into some CFF news?
I am ready. It's almost like I never left. So we're going to start off first with CFF news. There's a Valentine's Day Massacre. This is an FC tournament for Town Hall 16s. The rules are a little different. This one's brought to you by Sons of Guns. Mm-hmm. So on February 10th, they're going to put everyone in an event clan. And at the stroke of whatever, 7, everyone in the clan is going to post an FC. You find your own FC, because of course this is going to populate like mad, and you hit the base above yours. So there's no planning. You have to go in. It's Legends style. So you bring your best comp. And the first round, and I'm just following along the rules here. The first round, everyone who gets a 2-star and over 75% damage will advance to the next round. Everyone below that percentage, and of course, if you 1-star, no star, you have to leave the clan. And then the second round, the same rules apply, but they're going to up the percentage to 80% until everyone is eliminated. So it really will be a massacre, because conceivably, everyone could be out in the first round if everyone runs, you know, triple ice golem, single inferno tower nastiness. So that one sounds really
chaos.
Fun.
Complete yes. Chaos.
Once they get down to about 3 players, then they'll battle it out until someone is crowned the king or the queen of Clash. Signups are open right now, and they will close February 8th. And then that's a February 10th spin or FC tournament.
Nice.
Yeah, that one sounds great. Also, since this year is a leap year, February 29th, someone suggested we run a Trojan War. So that will spin on actually February 28th, so we can attack on February 29th. Just something fun. I really love the big wars.
Yeah, there's so much fun.
So hopefully we can get 50 for that. I don't know. That one actually hasn't been released yet, right?
No, it probably signups will start first or second week in February.
And do you think it's going to be restricted to Town Hall 16s only?
Yes. Yeah, Town Hall 16 only, but open to all friends and family of the CFF.
Very good. Very good. What else have I? Oh, yes. You're going to have to say this one for me. Antonius and Darth Yoda are heading up or have volunteered to lead up some CFF esport teams. We know the Sons of Guns guys are quite active in the competitive community, so they thought they would just lend their expertise to the whole CFF.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been such a big turnout or a big response that they're now talking about 2 teams. So that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I think the CFF awesome. Will be well represented by those 2. That'll be very fun. And then last but not least, Sky and Barky have been talking in chats about setting up a Town Hall 9 only clan. So if anyone has a Town Hall 9 and would like some action, I think you should DM Sky and or Barky and see what their plan is. That could be a lot of fun. I know I'm having fun on my Town Hall 9 trying to get that equipment to max. So that should be good.
Awesome.
And then, of course, good old SCWL. Last month, because Town Hall 16 had just dropped, we put everybody into TGF Rising. And of course, when we're all together, we do really well. And so we have promoted TGF Rising to Champs 3 also.
Nice.
So we're going to just split all our 16s into the 2 clans. Signups are still open. I think Magnus is going to just declare the rosters, you know, one left, one right kind of thing until we get an even number in both clans. The Rated is also running. They're down in Masters 2 now, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, perilous of climbing up another one. So always looking for support there. And then we'll have run minis and shiny gemeralds. And our good friend C-Note is going to open with, what is that? Yeah, Wiz on a Pekka. Let some of our little minis in there. So that'll be fun. I said SCWL and fun in the same paragraph. How about that?
Oh, yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
What are you drinking?
I just have a nice coffee. So let's get a little bit of a refresh on you since you've been away for a while. What accounts are you playing?
So I took two accounts to 16, both Peter and Zarch. They are side by side on the war map, so I think I must be upgrading the same things at the same time. I also took my 14, Inconvenient, to 15 when I heard that Town Hall 16 was coming, thinking I wanted to rush that one up. But, oh my gosh, I forgot all the pet grind at Town Hall 15. So I haven't even got all my army camps done. Just dragging along. But I'm doing the exact same attack there, so I'm getting lots of reps in. It's fun. I also have a Town Hall. Oh, I took my Town Hall 2, and it's already up to kind of a newish Town Hall 9. I have a Town Hall 9 forever. A Town Hall 10 forever, a Town Hall 11 forever, and I'm currently working on a relatively new Town Hall 12, struggling to learn Lalo at the next level. So
that's a good place to learn it, you know, at the lower ones.
But I got to tell you, playing all those accounts when the ore update dropped, my goodness, I feel like a crazy fool some days, just rushing around to make all my attacks.
Scrambling to get them all done.
It's busy work.
Yeah, for myself, I've got my 216s. I did take my 14 up to 15, which is currently in the Rated. And then I've got a mishmash of 11, my 13. I just maxed the heroes on my 13 today. And then I have several nines. I don't have a 10 or a 12. So.
And what is your plan for your 13? Just kind of keep going with that?
I think I'll probably end up taking it to 14 because I would like to have, like you say, at least one at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So... because, you know, in a year, Town Hall 17 is going to drop. And I'm going to have to farm everything else up again anyway. So I might as well try and move everything up a smidge. And I do want to always have a Town Hall 9. But I've been kind of pondering taking Apocalypse Meow up to 10, starting to move her up because I do love that account.
Name alone, right?
The name alone just makes me happy. And so Town Hall 16. Let's talk about that a little bit. 1 month later, do you love it? Do you hate it? And where are you at with it as far as upgrades?
So I'm moving right along. I think I did all the special cannons and the special archer towers right away. I actually might have even used books on those things. I saw the value in them. I actually really like Town Hall 16. I know a lot of people are kind of bored with three-starring. I don't think that's a problem I'm going to ever have. I like crushing bases. I have my moments where I just, you know, you can't get to the town hall. I've been using a Root Rider E-Titan Smash with the log launcher. It really works well on bases that have the Eagle, the Monolith, and the Town Hall all lined up. And especially if the Town Hall is more centralized rather than all the way to the other side. And then the Root Riders just break everything open. I have found, though, that I think the heroes are really much more, durable at Town Hall 16. And maybe it's just the whole meta. All the heroes seem more durable. I often have just my heroes at the very end for cleanup. I know Root Riders are kind of squishy, and the E-Titans are only there to kind of absorb damage early on. So
yeah,
it's good. It's good.
Now, have you tried any of the Valk attacks? Because I'm seeing a lot of Root Rider Valk attacks.
Interesting. No, I have not seen those. I know Lolly is playing with those.
Doc is smashing with it. Saw a ton of Root Rider Valk attacks over in the Rated last war. Just smashed bases in under 2 minutes. Like 10 Root Riders, 10 Valks, and like 10 Freezes or whatever it was. Just complete spam. They didn't even try to set a funnel. So either our bases are really bad over there.
It is spam, but it's also not, right? I mean, 10 Freezes means you have to be fairly strategic with those. So it's strategic spam. Okay, that's what we'll go.
Strategic Valk? Surgical Valks?
Surgical valves. But I am liking the equipment. That upgrades are, you know, kind of slowed down now that event was crazy, right? All those bases and trying to fill the track. I did not buy, I bought the pass on, I think, three accounts, the big three accounts, and then still was able to complete the track on all the little minis just by making, you know, daily attacks. But things have really slowed down now. The shiny ore, nope, that's not the right name. The ore, the
glowy ore, the starry ore, and the shiny ore.
The purple ore. I can never purple think of that one.
I think that's isn't the shiny? Gonna make me look.
I'm gonna have to look too.
All I know is they're all hard to get. Although it seems like, you know, if you're finishing your star challenges every day, then, you know, you're getting the more common ores.
Yeah. Glowy is the one I'm thinking of. And of course, I feel right now glowy is holding me back. I'm sitting with a bunch of things at 17 that I can't get the upgrades finished. I'm identical on both accounts. I have the giant gauntlet and the rage vial on the king. Mm-hmm. And the rage vial is 18. You know, that was when I understood what it would do. And I like that king when he burst onto the scene. I held back a little bit on the giant gauntlet just to see, but many, many people thought it was just fun. And it is kind of fun, right? King's immune to damage for a little bit. And it's
well, and he
good.
Reaches over the walls and
the splash damage is neat. Yeah.
Yeah. I know some of our friends are using the vamp stash and really loving that. And, you know, I'm just kind of playing around with different comps myself, trying to figure out what does what. Like on my nine, I love the earthquake boots on my nine on the king.
Because, yes.
You know, when he's walking through the base there, he just smashes open a bunch of walls.
Opens it right up, right? And, and we don't have a siege machine at nine, right? So you have to rely on wall breakers or jump spell.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool to use that. But I haven't used the arrow yet. Have you?
I did. I mucked around with it on my nine, but because I thought, oh, this is going to be amazing, right? It's going to shoot across the base. I had trouble using it early, right? I'm so accustomed to using the queen ability kind of later to save her from something that, I get two buildings with it and I think, oh, I should have used that earlier. And then I try to use it earlier and she shoots, you know, off the corner rather than straight into the base. I think it's powerful. I just think it's going to take a lot of...
It's very strong.
But I'm going to take a lot of figuring out to make it work consistently. Because, of course, now you need to wait for the queen to orient herself into the base before you punch the button. So
don't ever facing towards the forest because she'll shoot out into the forest and then...
That's it turns for that skeleton trap that just opened.
Yeah. One person that I've seen who's just crushing with it is Electro Rush over in Phoenix Reloaded. He has been friendly challenging himself nonstop. And the chat is just full of him doing FCs with this thing, and he's perfected it, he's maxed it, and he's six-packing every war.
Excellent. Good for him.
Yeah, so kudos to him for putting in all that work.
Pays off.
Yeah, it does. And do you think that Town Hall 16 is ground or air right now, and do you think it's balanced?
You know what? Let's go with the balance question first. Defense is not keeping up at the moment, but I think this is like money things, right? It takes a while for... You know, people will gem hero levels or, you know, in this case, maybe equipment levels, you know, maybe buy with real money some of that glowy ore or starry ore just to keep going with the upgrades, where they're not going to do that for wizard towers or things of that sort. So I think the defenses will continue to catch up. I keep hearing things like how to change the meta against root riders. Oh, and then I do think the meta is ground right now. Root riders seem really strong. They're in many, many, many of the attacks. And so much so that I think every expo I see right now is set on ground. I think I should pull out dragon riders and dragons again. So,
yeah, I think our friend Ace is still playing around with the Hydra, and he's having some success with that. He was experimenting with the root riders and liked that, which he is not a ground attacker.
Right.
So, but
I might have to slip into his DMs and just see what he's doing, because... Like I said, it just has become really anti-ground.
Yeah, it's nice to see it on ground, though, because for so long at Town Hall 15, basically you were tied to one or two different attacks, and it was all air meta, because ground just would not work unless you were extremely, extremely skilled attacker.
Yes.
So it's for me, ground has always been my favorite type of attack, and when 16 dropped, I was able to use witches for a while, which was really nice.
Yes.
Have not been able to do that for a while. It's not as effective now. Some bases it works, but it's still nice to have that in your pocket as, oh, you know, maybe I can use this, you know, root rider witch attack.
Right. And maybe witches will become, more of a support troop, right? Somewhere to put a ton of skeletons in the corner.
Exactly.
Especially maybe remember like we used to do when we were doing bats, right? You'd have that ice golem on the edge to distract that one splash defense. And so maybe a witch will do the same thing for a monolith or something like that at the end of an attack. It could happen.
Yeah, you never know. I think it's nice because the option seems to be there for multiple different types of attacks right now.
Yes.
And that's kind of refreshing for the game.
Yeah, well, that's great that Volk's... I've always loved that Volk character. Just you couldn't use her with anything. So I'm glad that she's making a comeback.
Yeah. And what's going to be interesting, though, is to see if somebody adapts the Super Valk for these attacks. Because to be honest, I have not used Super Troops since.
I agree with you. I don't even buy Super Wall Breakers.
No.
And that was like a permanent purchase. Yeah.
No, I don't need them. I think Trample is still using the Super Hogs.
Okay.
But I have not had to buy a Super Troop since 16 dropped. And I'm kind of enjoying that. It makes me think that maybe I should add a Super Valk to my comp and see what happens.
To see what happens, yeah.
Yeah.
How are your hero upgrades coming? Have you pushed ahead with those?
That was painful. King and Queen are maxed, and I just maxed my Warden. I bought a hero book to finish him off just because it was painful. And I've put my RC down. I think she's going to 42 right now. So it's a slow process, and you know, it doesn't feel as critical to max them with the power potions, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that, right? Some of the content creators have been saying, you don't need to upgrade your heroes anymore. As soon as your town hall is ready, our hero potion gives you max heroes. I think the only fallacy of that is on defense, right? We know that they've taken away some of the power of the hero so they can be leveled up on defense, right? So they're not as powerful on defense, rather, but you still need them on defense. Like, I still think the king is the greatest air defense troop there is. He is a non-stop distraction.
No, exactly.
It's been interesting watching things develop. I upgraded my Warden and my RC first just because I felt the RC didn't have all those extra abilities.
Special.
Yeah, so that, you know, maybe she should get a little love from being leveled up. Although I have leveled up both of those accounts is both the Seeking Shield and the Royal Gem.
So let's talk a little bit about clan games. We just are finishing them up right now. There's no ore in the rewards. Do you think clan games is still needed? Should they just do away with it and maybe give us something different to help us earn ore?
Yeah, I was really surprised there wasn't. I figured there was going to be one column that was each of the three kinds of ore, maybe in the same kind of proportions that they do in, say, Legends League, something like that. 1,000 blue, 70 purple, and, you know, 10 yellow, and then let you choose one of those things, but none. You know, clan games for me is not such a big deal anymore. I used to try to max it all the time because I was trying to grow those accounts. Again, with my not stepping back from the game, but stepping away from some of the things, just it's not as much interesting to me. Although I heard Darth Yoda say, no, it wasn't Yoda, just call me T, saying about some of the clans with his rushed accounts or strategic rushers, you know, they were finished clan games in a day, just ridiculously fast as a clan. So it is still important, I think, to some people, especially people that want to grow quickly.
Yeah, I think if you're starting out and maybe you have one or two accounts and you need those resources to build your account, they're extremely important to get those extra little things like potions and books and runes. But, you know, as someone who's, you know, going to be maxed probably in the next month, if all things go as planned, then it's not really so relevant. And I don't know, it just feels like it's such a chore with the little 100 point challenges to get things done, especially being in Legends League. I spend so much time on builder base, let me tell you.
Yes, I was looking at that today, and they were all builder base challenges that were left, which I know everyone has been desired in the past, right? Because you could whip them off fast, but ugh,
when you're
only have,
100 points at a time, trying to get to 4,000 is just brutal.
Trouble.
Yeah.
Good thing we don't have minimums in RT.
You must get at least 3,000 points. Yeah. One thing I had an idea about was hero skins. Like, you know me, I love the cosmetics of the game. Like, I normally buy the hero skins and the sceneries, all that stuff. But it just seems a little bit meaningless to me to buy the skins now when they don't do anything other than make the heroes look different or nice, depending on the skin. Do you think that Supercell should look at tying their skins to some abilities. Like, you know, you have the earthquake boots. Maybe you have some kind of a skin that matches with the boots, and maybe the ability is tied to the skin.
I love this idea. I mean, we all played the Golem King for a long time because in our hearts, we felt that he had more hit points when he was wearing that skin. I don't think it's a stretch to say it's possible, other than the whole fear of making Clash of Clans play to win or pay to win.
Yeah.
Poor old Raz, he was on an actual full Clash break when Town Hall 16 dropped, so he didn't even get involved in the event.
Oh, no.
And so he keeps seeing this reference to the Giant Gauntlet, and I'm thinking, that's unfair. I mean, it's not unfair. He wasn't playing at the time, but in order to get that, where he's going to now have to wait for it to be offered in the store, and I'm going to assume for gems at some point.
Yeah, they were talking about it. I believe Kenny Joe had mentioned it on Twitter today that it is going to be appearing in the Trader Post at some point. So people have to keep an eye out for that if you missed it on any of your accounts.
Okay,
which is nice, and people at least have the option to purchase it.
So going back to your idea of skins, I'm worried now that I guess they couldn't go backwards, right? They couldn't offer something from the, the Clockworks skins to say this would give you an advance or a better ability, because
it would have to be something new going forward. But, you know, like other games, I believe if you purchase a skin, I don't play really any other games, but I have heard that if you purchase certain types of skins, it might give you specific abilities. So I think, you know, that's something they could look at. But, you know, people complain about Clash of Clans being pay to win or pay to play now. Well, it's always been pay to play, but sort of like pay to win, I guess. Most games are, you know, you pay money and you are able to either upgrade your heroes faster, or I think Clash of Clans has done an admirable job of all these years keeping it as free to play as they have.
I agree.
So we're a little bit spoiled now. All of a sudden, well, they need to earn some money. They want to make some money to stay in business and keep the game going and improve the game. So how can they do that, right? It's encourage people to spend a little bit more money, whether it's on ore or skins or whatever. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what they can do with that.
You know, just as a feeling, I feel like I spend less money on the game now. I mean, I buy a gold pass every month, but you know, I used to have to buy gems for that kind of same level of to try to keep up, right? We used to buy gems. Remember that?
We did. Gosh, when I think of like back in the old community league war days, like if you wanted to be in these community leagues, you had to have max heroes and max defenses. So people would gem their heroes up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cheap.
Was not cheap. No $500 hero books.
Exactly. Speaking from Red Thorn's experience at all Town Hall 16 wars, what do you think the pros and cons are of running all 16s right now?
So the other thing, of course, is we're running, allowing hero down and trample damage. Mentioned this in his latest podcast that maybe that's hurting some of the clans. Because you need to win to get the maximum ore, right?
Right.
All the content creators start off with, you know, if you win 50% of your wars, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, poor old Redthorn hasn't won 50% of their wars in. Oof, I don't want to look at the Warlog cap, but have we won
don't look.
5 out of 20 in the last month? It's been a rough go, hasn't it?
We had a bit of a rough stretch, and then I was forbidden from spinning wars. So Lolly's been handling the spins, and it's been a bit better, although the war that we're currently in, I think we're going to get hammered pretty hard.
Yeah, I like the max level gameplay. I think it is we are getting matched up with harder clans, because of course we're trying to get 40 people, right? Everyone should be trying to get ore, but of course that means we're running into guys that are, you know, also trying to max out as quick as we can, and I'm thinking we keep running into champs one clans. It's been tough.
Yeah, well, more and more clans are spinning wars, which is nice for the game, because there's a bigger pool of clans to match with, so the odds are more likely that you're going to run into higher level clans, players that are, that maybe they've got better bases, or they've been doing a little bit more practice and they've stumbled across different comps and they spot something on your bases and they maximize the opportunity on that.
Yes.
But, you know, I think things will balance out as we get our heroes maxed up and our equipment maxed up. You know, people will start winning more wars. And I think, you know, I do enjoy the all 16 ores?
I don't know. I do feel like the grind for ore is going to go away anytime soon. I kind of feel like we're only maybe halfway through.
I think we'll just start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then they'll drop more equipment on us to keep it going. I've heard rumors about the Lunar New Year equipment.
Oh, yes.
There's going to be a new piece of epic equipment dropping on that. It's a
good old frozen arrow that everyone talks about. Yeah,
that's right. It sounds cool. I haven't done anything with the regular arrow yet, so maybe I should look at that.
So I've been on the Queen. I've been just using the healer puppet, or excuse me, the archer puppet and the invisibility vial. But I'm really interested in the healer puppet. I think that sounds like a super duper ability.
Yeah, and I think Trample's been using that, and he really likes it.
And he likes it for different reasons. Like, he likes it because of the base stat increase that the Queen gets.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the healers. I think the healers kind of late in a smash attack could be really valuable. But I'm reluctant to devote any ore to it at the moment because I'd like to get these other ones to max.
Yeah. You know, eventually we will get them all maxed, and it'll give us lots of opportunities to try different combinations. Because I think when you're looking at specific types of attacks, you're going to want to look at your equipment and say, which ones do I need to actually use for this attack?
And I think that's kind of
an exciting opportunity.
And I love that there's opportunity to use different ones. Like, we were so ingrained with the hero pets at Town Hall 15, right? Everyone used the same ones on the same heroes.
Yeah.
It feels like there could be some choices now that, you know, will still be, they'll still work, especially if you can gear them towards the attack you're using.
Yeah. And I think it's really going to matter. You know, if you're doing a queen charge super hog attack, it's going to matter what equipment you have on each hero to get through the base, you know, and it's going to be different than if you're doing a Hydra attack or the Valk attack. You know, each one is going to have its own requirements, and I think we'll slowly start to figure that out.
Yes, very good.
Is there anything that you would like to see changed or added yet with Town Hall 16?
No, I'm happy to, you know, follow their line. They follow their lead on this. You know, it's we're going to take a while to get through 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between upgrading defenses and traps, which I'm still working on, and then all the walls, right? We got a little bit of time at 16.
Yes, walls, yes. Do you have anything that you're looking for in the game in general?
You know, I always the same old quality of life things. Like you said about the fellow that's filling up the clan chat with FCs. You know, that'd be super to be in a different spot. Visible,
yeah, separate
but maybe
tab.
Not.
Yeah.
And who did I hear it from the other day? Some kind of community chat. You know, even if it's amongst a family of clans, I think that could be really valuable.
Yeah, that would be really good.
And I know what you want.
You know what I want.
I know what you want. 35-person wars.
That's right. Because,
yeah,
especially with people upgrading right now, we're kind of in a sweet spot that normally we can run 40s. You know, I don't think it's practical to run 45s. I think that would be a really odd number. But 35-person war, I think most clans are probably in a position where they could run a 30, a 35, or a 40. So I think the old logic that a 35-person war would take too long to match, I don't think so. I think once people saw that you could do 35s, I think there'd be a deep enough pool.
I agree. And clans have changed, right? We've seen small clans amalgamate with bigger clans, right?
Mm-hmm.
People want to be in with the activity, especially when we were able to do self-donation and stuff like that. It didn't really change the number of people in Redthorn. So, you know, I feel like the big clans attract more people. So we should be able to spin kind of a couple more.
Yeah.
You say not to 45, but, you know, 50 is hard to get. You know, often it's somebody's.
It is.
Anyway.
For most clans, I think 50 is tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still want the ability for clan leadership to remove a flag on a base. Because if somebody, for example, calls a base and something happens in real life, or you know, they've just forgotten, and it confuses the war if the flag is sitting there for too long. Or they should put an automatic timestamp on there when somebody flags a base. You know, I think that they do have the ability to just generate a little timestamp.
Yeah, I love that idea. I know you guys mentioned that on the last podcast.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant. Or it just expires. It just expires. Yeah. That would be super.
Yeah.
I know in Redthorn we have the rule kind of 2 hours. Everyone is still really afraid to jump a call. I think we've all had it done to us and it hurts, you know, you're preparing for the base and then suddenly it's gone. And not through malicious act, just through someone jumping in, seeing a base is open and hitting attack.
Yeah, they don't notice the flag.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I think it would be helpful. It would keep things flowing.
Yeah. And I just wanted to mention one thing before we jump into our next segment is apparently there was a glitch in game for some Android users, and hopefully they fixed it by now. The game would crash if the warden was set to ground. It did get reported on the subreddit and by some of our CFF members directly to Supercell support. So if you're experiencing that, just know that it is a glitch and Supercell is aware.
And set your ward to air. But you had a glitch for the king and the warden with the gauntlet still active? Is that one still ongoing?
Yep, yeah, okay. That is still working, yeah. Yep. Yeah, they have not fixed that yet. I think it's a bigger fix that's needed, so they're probably waiting for the update, maybe the lunar update.
Maybe, yeah.
To do that. So we're going to introduce a new segment to the show. It was Peter's idea. It is called The Vine. Peter, do you want to take that away?
Yeah, I sure do. So this, you know, I've been listening to the podcast, of course, while I've been off. And, you know, our Redthorn hit that magical level 30 clan. It's meaningless, but, you know, I didn't really hear it get mentioned. I thought that was kind of a unique thing. And I thought, oh, I wonder what other unique things, you know, we could look at our membership from. And I know we have a little bit more of a Redthorn focus, or I have had a little bit more of a Redthorn focus recently. But I thought I would just highlight some of the stuff our members are doing, mostly because of how grindy Town Hall 16 feels. It feels like we're going to be here for a while. So everyone's making attacks, daily attacks. So many of us are in Legends. I slipped out of Legends, and I'm, you know, two or three pages down the account list now, like scrolls down the account list. That, you know, I'm sitting at, you know, middle 30s. So people are active in Redthorn. So I'm going to start off, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. This is not the highest person or the most achievements, although that might be interesting as a follow-up to one of these episodes. But for example, Chandan has surpassed 2,500 war stars. You know, he's not got the most for sure, but he just passed that number, 2,500. 2,500 is just a nice round number. These things catch my eye. So shout out to Chandan. Ink has demolished, this number boggles my mind, over 57,000 expos.
Wow.
Yeah, just crazy. And on top of that, last week, Ace donated his 6,000th Seeds machine. Now, we know Ace is
OP.
Yeah, he's an OP donator, but God, 6,000 Seeds machines. That's crazy.
That's a crazy number.
Yeah. Brad M. has destroyed 2,200 weaponized town halls. Again, this is just stuff that's happened recently. Kongan PCCC crested 6,000 donated spells this week. Wow. I think he was the most I've seen, but again, this is not the most list. This is just kind of milestone numbers. And Beer God has just passed 10,000 donated spells.
Wow. That's amazing.
Crazy numbers. Beer God, incidentally, also has just over 3,200 weaponized town halls destroyed. So Beer God had a great week.
He did.
Passed all kinds of great numbers. Yeah. Emotional LOL has passed 9,300 scatter shots scattered, and Captain Mac has mauled over 27,000 mortars. Just interesting.
It's interesting.
SJD Dragon has burned over 15,800 Inferno Towers, and the guy is keeping things nice and tidy and has removed 14,000 obstacles from his base as of this week. Storm Rider, oh, this one blew my mind too. Storm Rider has won 15,000 multiplayer battles.
That's a lot of clash.
Staggers my mind. Yeah, that's a lot of clash. That's a lot of clash. And good old Lincoln Log has been busting unions with over 8,200 weaponized builder huts destroyed, which is weird. I didn't even know we had a thing for that, but it seems we do have it.
Amazing.
Achievement. So the game has become so grindy. I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, Redthorn really is an active clan, and we're doing lots of stuff. So if you have someone that you would like mentioned on the Vine, you know, let me know. No. Put it in there.
Send him a DM.
Send me a DM.
Not at midnight.
Well, yeah, not at midnight.
So, Peter, we don't normally do shade outs, but I need to make an exception here. I am going to shade out our good friend C-Note and Evil Empire for challenging Ace and me to a Coke versus Pepsi 5v5 on the last Clash Tours episode. Seriously, C-Note, wasn't getting flattened twice in a row by Coca-Cola enough? Ace and I are ready to uncarbonate anytime. Have your people call my people and we'll sort out the details.
But not at midnight.
Not at midnight. Let's do some shout outs. You want to go first, Peter?
I sure can. start out with all of Redthorn for hitting that meaningless clan level 30. I think that's pretty good. And also to Redbeard for making it to co-leader. He may be regretting this as of recording, but I think he's having fun. He's a very active fellow. He's been good addition. And then I wanted to give a little shout out to Emo, Emotional LOL. He's going through some personal stuff, so it can't be easy for him right now. So I just wanted to give him a little love over the airwaves. And big thanks to Fado for carrying the ball. I can't believe how many episodes you guys have recorded since I've been gone. It hasn't even been a year, and wow, what a number. Yeah. So I hope he enjoys his time away from podcasting and can get regrouped and then get back in here and share his knowledge and his humor. I'd also like to shout out Mere Mortal for tripling a certain enemy base in one of our wars this week. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get that. I hope he enjoys his gold pass.
Excellent.
And that's all.
All right. I'm going to shout out Fado for putting up with me for so long on the podcast. It's a really big commitment to be a co-host, and I really appreciate him. And hopefully he can get rested up and comes back one day. I'm also going to shout out Good Cop for all the work he's doing on putting together a server called Sound Clash. It's dedicated to Clash of Clans podcasts, and he's hoping to archive many of the old pods there. We will put a link, hopefully, in the pod notes. So if you want to join his server, you can join it and check it out. And I'm also going to shout out Jezza. Jezza is an OG Clasher and former leader of the Raided, and he was a host of the Dead Are Alive podcast. He put out a number of Clash songs that he wrote and performed, and I'm privileged that he's given us permission to share them with everyone. You may have noticed our new intro music. That song was one of several songs that he wrote, and we're going to showcase his music during the pods. So hope you enjoy this one, and tune into our next episode to hear another of his songs.
Gods, I confess, my emotions have been a mess, because you changed everything we ever knew, from witches to poison, and the queen walked too. Whoa, I've been wrong, I was wrong, been out all night, way too long. I'll push that button and believe in you again. Dear Clash Gods, I've doubted you for the things you've chosen not to do. Do you have our best interest in your heart? I still don't get the roller with a new card. Well, I've been wrong, I've been wrong. Been up to a whole night, way too long. To get hugs and vibrate. I'll push the button and believe in you again. Superstar, you're such a mystery. You hide away from your community. I was losing all the faith I had, but this time our band has made me glad. So I push the button and believe in you.
spots and gave us Valkyrie rays. So I'll push the button and believe in you again. I'll push the button and believe in you again. I'll push that button and believe in you again.
And thank you everyone for listening. The CFF is a family of clans who love to play various games such as Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, among others. You can send questions or comments to us on Twitter at RedThornCoc. To get more information on our clans, events, and pods, join the CFF Discord at discord.gg/clashfiles.